Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast. Coming up soon, we'll have reports from some of our missionaries in the Arab Middle East countries, and also we'll be bringing you some news reports that will astound you about things that are going on in the area. All of this will be from a pro-Israel perspective. But before we get into the updates and news reports, we're going to hear some great music from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. But first, I want to brag on my friend and brother in the Lord, Mike Taylor. He owns his own HVAC company, Taylor Heating and Cooling. Recently, we hired him to replace the heating and air conditioning in our house. And I got to tell you, I'm just so amazed. These guys are phenomenal. Mike and his crew show up on the day when they tell you they're coming, at the time that they tell you they're going to be there, and they work so fast. We were without air conditioning for only a few minutes. It was amazing. They took the old one out, put the new one in so fast. Our new system is phenomenal, high efficiency, great unit. Give these people a call if you need help. Mike Taylor, Taylor Heating and Cooling. They'll do you right.
How great you are, how small I am, how awesome.
The Bible says in Psalms 122, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." In Genesis 12, the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, "I will make of thee a great nation," which, by the way, is a reference to Israel. God went on to say, "I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So we hope you'll understand when we say that we are unashamedly pro-Israel. And in praying for the peace of Jerusalem and supporting Israel, the blessing of the Lord will be upon you. And the words, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed," are a reference to the Savior, Jesus Christ, coming to us through this nation of Israel that God made from Abraham's offspring. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is brought to the nations, and all the families of the earth are blessed. We've just received an exciting report from our missionaries to the Arab countries of the Middle East. God has been answering our prayers for them and this crucial region where they minister. Here's just a brief glimpse of what's been happening. They recently journeyed into the United Arab Emirates. This was this past week. And there they ministered to a packed out crowd in Abu Dhabi. And a young man from America who's there with them on site as part of an extended missions trip that he is taking ministered in a joint youth service in Dubai. There was an incredible move of God there with many crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ for their very first time. One young man was baptized in Jesus' name. They also taught a Bible study to a young Lebanese Christian who is hungry to receive God's Spirit. Please pray for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. His name is Paul. Our missionaries there are working to build relationships in Oman. Many people have been to a home that our people have there, with God opening doors for them to talk to folks about the new birth experience. And several hungry individuals are working with them and receiving truth. This week, they were honored to share an iftar meal with the lady who teaches them Arabic. Iftar is the evening meal eaten by Muslims to break their fast at the end of each day during the month of Ramadan. Our missionaries there are about to have their first baby. They're a young couple. We ask you to pray because the baby is full term and yet still is in the breech position. The baby needs to turn in order for them to have a regular delivery, and she would prefer to not have the baby by a cesarean. And we'll try to bring you more news as soon as we can find out more. There's a totalitarian country there in which we have many believers and a very strong revival underway. Some of our believers and ministers have been imprisoned there, and a few of them have already been placed on death row. Please pray that our brothers and sisters be miraculously delivered from prison, and also that God will give comfort to the children who have had both of their parents arrested. In Pakistan, by now you've probably heard the news of the terrible devastation that flooding has brought to the folks in Pakistan. The United Nations has declared these floods to be the biggest emergency on planet Earth. The United Pentecostal Church International of the Gulf States is reaching out with financial support and prayer support. We encourage you to consider contacting Compassion Services International and becoming part of the relief efforts. You can donate online at the website at www.compassionservices.com. Again, that's www.compassionservices.com. Our friends in Pakistan ask us to pray in the following ways. First, pray for open doors as we minister relief to those devastated by the floods. Pray that hearts and minds will be changed by God's power and that the Lord's anointing will be on His people as we distribute help to some whose lives have experienced total loss. Pray that diseases such as cholera and typhoid will be miraculously stopped in their tracks. Pray that the influence of the forces who oppose Jesus Christ and His truth will be hindered. pray finally that this flood will be a physical picture of what's happening in the spirit realm, that a mighty deluge of the Holy Ghost will flow from the highest mountain peaks in northern Pakistan to the lowest valleys of the Punjab, from the deserts all the way to the isolated areas, washing away darkness and bringing glorious light to this nation. Indeed, prayer changes things. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for praying for these needs. Coming up next, synagogue bombers on trial in New York, and Israeli Defense Minister Barak's planned purchase of F-35s, American-made fighter jets, may not happen. And you're not going to believe this one. Global Islam is getting a facelift at the expense of U.S. taxpayers. Here's the story regarding those synagogue bombers in New York. Four would-be Bronx synagogue bombers prayed for success before setting out on their murderous mission, according to U.S. prosecutors. The four, who are 44-year-old James Cromedy, 34-year-old Anta Williams, 29-year-old David Williams, and 28-year-old Lagir Payan, were charged with conspiring to use weapons of mass destruction and attempting to use missiles to kill U.S. officers and employees. In his opening statement to the Manhattan Federal Court, Assistant U.S. Attorney Adam Hickey told the jury, quote, "They were prepared to go all the way through with their destructive and murderous plan," end quote. That plan included shooting down military planes. The prosecution said it would show the jury a video of the defendants praying for success prior to setting out to attack two New York synagogues in May of 2009. The four, three of whom were U.S. citizens and one a Haitian immigrant, were originally approached by FBI informant Shahid Hussein after he heard them discussing their hatred of Jews and a desire to hurt Americans. The sentiment apparently was ignited by U.S. actions in the Middle East. Hussein, who was known to the group as Maqsood, provided the would-be bombers with non-working explosives and Stinger missiles, after telling them he was a member of a Pakistani terrorist organization and offering to fund their efforts and supply the materials. The informant also secretly videotaped his conversations with the suspects. Cromedy told Hussein on the tape that, quote, "The best target in New York had already been hit," end quote, which was an apparent reference to the World Trade Center that was destroyed during the 9/11 attack on New York by Al-Qaeda terrorists in 2001. He added that he would like to hit another target, like the George Washington Bridge, or a large military transport plane, or a synagogue. Hickey said, above all, Cromedy said that he wanted to hit a synagogue. Attorney Vincent Bracetti, in defending Cromedy, said his client had been entrapped by Hussein, a convicted felon whom he called a master manipulator. The four have pleaded not guilty to the charges. If convicted, they could be sentenced to prison terms of 25 years to life. Now, in a related story, these Bronx synagogues are to receive some protection in the future. The two synagogues that were targeted by the would-be terrorists, the Riverdale Temple and the Riverdale Jewish Center, are on a list of 80 high-risk groups set to receive an average of $73,000 each to fortify their buildings against terror attacks. The funds are to be distributed before the November elections. The Department of Homeland Security last month allocated more than $5.8 million in federal funding to beef up the protection of the buildings with security cameras, barricades, and emergency release doors. U.S. Congressman Anthony Weiner, Democrat from Brooklyn and Queens, New York, announced at a July news conference held at Manhattan's Ramaz School, a modern Orthodox day school, also on the list to receive funds, quote, everybody is entitled to have their security needs met, end quote. The list includes a total of 36 religious schools, 25 synagogues, 12 community centers, 6 hospitals, and a church. Specific details were not released due to security concerns. In our second story, Israeli Defense Minister Barak's decision to purchase American-made F-35s is to be reconsidered. Finance Minister Yuval Steinitz is not happy with Defense Minister Ehud Barak's recent decision to purchase 20 American-made F-35 Evader airplanes. The decision will be reconsidered. Three objections. Steinitz says the planes are simply too expensive and has asked Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu not to suffice with Barak's opinion alone on the matter. Netanyahu has agreed to discuss the matter in a more extensive forum, the composition of which is yet to be announced. Steinitz also objects to the deal on the grounds that the U.S. has refused to install Israeli systems on the plane. These systems would improve its capabilities, perpetuating Israel's air superiority in the region, even if, as expected, Saudi Arabia or other Arab countries purchased the same plane from the U.S. It has also been noted that the delivery date of the F-35, 4 years from now, is likely to be too late for use against the Iranian nuclear threat. On the other hand, the F-35 will give the Israel Air Force the best capability in the short and long range and will allow Israel to maintain air superiority, according to Minister Barak. He said this upon making the decision to purchase it. Though the F-35 has a limited payload capability, it is known for its ability to reach an enemy target undetected, and it possesses top-level computer systems. The F-35 is set to cost approximately $137.5 million, making it the most expensive plane ever purchased by Israel. Israel originally considered buying 75 of them, but the prohibitive price tag was instrumental in bringing this number down to 20, for a total of $2.75 billion U.S. dollars. No other country has yet purchased the F-35. In actuality, the price will be returned to Israel, and then some, in the form of defense contracts. The value of work that F-35 manufacturer Lockheed Martin is expected to give Israeli defense companies could amount to up to 180% of the cost of the entire deal, reports Defense News. This extraordinarily high return for an international arms deal has raised some eyebrows and even criticism in the U.S. Other countries generally receive between 40% and 100% in defense contracts when purchasing American weapons. Lockheed Martin said that if Israel buys 20 F-35s, it would award Israeli companies contracts worth $4 billion for work related to the plane's production. An option for another $1 billion over the course of 10 years is also part of the deal. No date has been set for the next discussion of the purchase. Our next story is going to amaze you. Global Islam sites to get an American facelift. The United States of America is donating nearly $270,000 this year to restore 5 Islamic sites as part of a worldwide project to support a global cultural facelift, according to the Associated Press. Now, I know it sounds amazing at a time when America is broke and Americans are struggling to choose between food and utilities to hear that this is happening with American taxpayer dollars. The funds are being provided under an annual program established by the U.S. Congress in 2001. It's called the Ambassador's Fund for Cultural Preservation. The 5 Islamic projects include a 16th century grand mosque in Tongzin, China, an 18th century golden mosque in Lahore, Pakistan, a 19th century minaret in an ancient Mauritanian city, a 16th century Islamic monument in New Delhi, and an 18th century Gobarua minaret in Katsina, Nigeria. Now, also funded this year are projects to restore Buddhist and Christian sites, as well as museums, forts, and palaces. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton said, quote, "Cultural heritage serves as a reminder of historical experiences and achievements in humanity." She went on to say, "Ancient structures and objects offer important lessons for us today." This was in an announcement last month as they outlined the projects. Nearly $6 million is being allocated for some 63 sites in 55 countries around the world. A total of $26 million has been spent on 640 cultural preservation projects in more than 100 countries since the birth of the program. Now, the last part of this story is the part that galls me the most. Right now, there is an effort underway to build a mosque at Ground Zero. It's going to be called the Cordoba House. The organizer of that effort is being funded by U.S. tax dollars to take a public relations trip to the Persian Gulf. I could not make this up. The public relations trip to the Persian Gulf, scheduled for the organizer of the Cordoba House Ground Zero Mosque, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, is also being funded under this same U.S. government program. Rauf is being sent by the State Department to Qatar, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates as, quote, a goodwill ambassador to explain U.S. religious tolerance traditions and to explain how Islam is perceived by the average American. Utterly amazing. Up next, Palestinian Authority Democracy, an anti-government conference quashed by police. And in an op-ed piece, Sesame Street got to Palestine. Police turned a planned press conference against Palestinian Authority government policy into an illegal rally and then banned it, injuring participants in the process. Now, the Palestinian Authority's Mayan News Agency reports that the police and the Palestinian Authority have a different version of the events. The issue involved opposition by some groups against the Palestinian Authority's decision to enter into direct talks with Israel. The event was organized by left-wing factions and several independent politicians, and a similar one was to be held in Gaza City. According to one of the conference organizers, former Ramallah mayoral candidate Khalida Jarar of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, the intention was to hold a press conference inside a Ramallah hall and not to conduct a protest rally outside. However, she said, Palestinian Authority police, quote, in civilian uniforms, attempted to thwart the event from the start, chanting slogans and leading event participants toward the center of Ramallah. She said the plainclothes officers were trying to provoke participants, and though, quote, we aimed to voice our dissent, the PA decided to enter the conference hall and drag participants out to an unplanned rally in order to quash it. The government-affiliated Watan TV station said network cameramen were assaulted and injured and their equipment confiscated. On the other hand, a Palestinian Authority police spokesman denied to Mayan any police intervention at the conference, saying forces were, quote, surprised when an illegal rally was carried out on the streets of Ramallah. He said security forces, quote, did not enter the hall in either civilian dress or military uniform and had no part in the decision to prevent the holding of a news conference. Forces on patrol were surprised when a gathering of people headed to Watan television studios. When the individuals were asked what they were doing, they said they were carrying out a rally. The age of chaos is over. These matters require prior notification and a permit. End quote. Now, as promised, an op-ed piece by Gary Feidelberg. Sesame Street got to Palestine? A7 News, which you can access at IsraelNationalNews.com, has exposed Sesame Street's decision that a country named Palestine already exists. It's the big lie told to innocent children who don't know about the Palestinian Authority's refusal to recognize Israel as a Jewish state. According to A7 News, Sesame Street now features the fictional nation of Palestine. It's remarkable because the area known as Palestine was originally named Philistia and evolved into Palestina and Palestine eventually. It was so named by the Crusaders to rub in the name of the Jews' enemy, the Philistines, today an extinct people. Palestine has been occupied by several conquering regimes, including the Babylonians, the Mamluks, the Ottoman Turks, and the British. The news article states, Grover, the charismatically blue character from the classic televised children's show Sesame Street, seems to be playing both sides of the Israeli-Arab conflict of late. The furry Muppet is hosting a new version of Jewish-themed Shalom Sesame to be aired on Hanukkah, but also has been heard declaring, quote, "We're off to Palestine," in an introduction to a Sesame Street video. The video segment, named A Gift from Grandma, features a Palestinian Authority girl named Salwa, who says that she lives in Palestine, before she helps her grandmother embroider a dress for her. Some viewers were incensed at the use of the name Palestine, a non-existent state whose formation was agreed to by Netanyahu, but that many Israelis feel cannot be established without putting Israel's existence into danger. Palestinian officials have threatened to declare a state whether there is a peace agreement or not, but Israel will not recognize Palestine without a peace agreement. However, it seems that someone on the writing staff of Sesame Street never heard of Israel, or Jordan for that matter, two places where the story might have been or actually must have been filmed. Perhaps whoever wrote those lines feels that if something is repeated often enough, such as the existence of a place called Palestine, it will eventually be believed. Perhaps there is a Palestinian Authority activist on the writing staff. However, despite the Palestine video, it seems that declaring Sesame Street hostile to Israel would be premature. In fact, Sesame Street is about to release a new version of Shalom Sesame, a Jewish-themed version of Sesame Street that teaches Jewish American preschoolers about their heritage. Actors Jake Gyllenhaal, Christina Applegate, Ben Stiller, Greg Kinnear, Deborah Messing, Cedric the Entertainer, Annalise Vanderpoel, and many others are featured in the 12-part series that follows Grover as he meets children in the U.S. and travels to Israel to visit some of Judaism's most prominent sites. The show was first adapted from the original Sesame Street in 1986 and then again in 1990. Past guests on the show, which aired on American public television, included Joan Rivers, Sarah Jessica Parker, Mandy Patinkin, Mary Tyler Moore, Jerry Stiller, and Ann Mira. The first installment of Shalom Sesame will premiere around Hanukkah time. Now, you may remember Nazi propaganda minister Hermann Goebbels once said, "If you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it." This is yet one more example of false credibility to a fictional nation and people who have hijacked and replaced facts with fiction, lies, myths, and manipulated both history, reality, and world opinion. Sesame Street is no reality show. What's next? Renaming the Holy Land Fantasyland?
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.